Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is 6:50. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. And the big news, of course, is the fact that it appears as though Benjamin Netanyahu will be the first foreign leader to visit the U.S. or visit the White House. We wanted to chat this morning to Professor Eitan Gilboa from the Center for International Communication. A very good morning to you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good morning to you.
How much of a accolade is this to be the first foreign leader to be invited?
It is important because it demonstrates some priorities. And indeed, the Trump administration is heavily involved in a number of issues in Israel and the Middle East. There are four issues on the table. All of them are very, very complicated. Issue number one is a continuation of the ceasefire in Gaza and the release of the remaining hostages. Issue number two is the day after. What will happen in Gaza when the war ends? Issue number three is normalization with Saudi Arabia. And Steve Witkoff, the president's special envoy to the Middle East, is just visiting Saudi Arabia. And the fourth issue is Iran. What to do with Iran's nuclear weapons program? And it is crucial that Israel coordinates policies with the Trump administration and achieve much understanding of what is happening and how to deal with it.
So the fact that they are speaking about the end of the war, the way in which the whole situation needs to look, it seems to me a bit strange in the sense that they're almost speaking like Hamas is no longer there. But actually what we're seeing is that Hamas is very much in control of Gaza at this point.
Absolutely. You are absolutely right. There is much agreement among Israel, the U.S., and many Arab countries in the region that Hamas should be out of Gaza. This is the Israeli main condition for reconstruction and demilitarization and de-radicalization of Gaza. The question is how to do it. It seems that there is much debate inside Hamas, and there is a group of leaders who say that Hamas has to get out because otherwise Gaza would never be reconstructed. So I assume that the main goal would be to increase the influence of those in Hamas that advocate getting out from Gaza. At this time, because of the agreement to release the hostages, indeed, Hamas is gaining some strength. But this is, again, the issue that the two sides, the United States and Israel, will have to discuss how to achieve that goal of getting Hamas out of Gaza. And it seems that the main card, as I mentioned, would be reconstruction of the place. This would be the condition from the beginning of reconstruction in Gaza. Not even a single house would be rebuilt or any road be constructed without that condition.
So what would happen to the Hamas leadership? Would they just dissipate and blend into the population? Would there be is there likely to be a deal to let them go live elsewhere? And can we reasonably expect them to, you know, no matter where they're sitting in the world, Qatar, Turkey, or anywhere else, can we expect them now to, you know, take a life of retirement and not continue with their jihadist approach?
I assume that the principal leaders, including Mohammed Sinwar, who succeeded Yahya Sinwar, his brother, who is now, he seems to be in control of Gaza right now, those top leaders will have to leave. Other at lower echelons may stay, but they will have to be out of government. It seems that what Hamas wants, assuming that they will be, that their power in Gaza would be substantially reduced, they may want to survive by creating a government similar to that in Lebanon. This is this we call it the Hezbollah model, which means that you have a government, say, consisting of the Palestinian Authority primarily, but Hamas will stay behind it, assuming or pretending not to be in power, but rebuilding itself as a social movement. I want to remind you listeners that Hamas started as a social movement, and this is still one of its most important sources of influence in Gaza. So they may go back to the roots of serving the people in social areas, but we have to be careful and know that and create agreements in Gaza for the day after that would reduce as much as possible even that role of social activity.
The fact that many people in Gaza have been radicalized, the fact is that there's been strict control on education, on propaganda, on media, on reporting. Any moderate voices or any criticism of Hamas was dealt with in the most stringent way. There's been no freedom of expression or anything else. What does that mean in terms of the ability to find leadership that is somewhat moderate? Will that leadership have to come from outside of Gaza, given the fact that it's unlikely that anybody within Gaza who is still there will take on this role?
Excellent question. There are very few leaders who could do that. One of them is Mohammed Dahlan, who is from Gaza and has some influence there. But everybody, almost all that are genuinely concerned about the future of Gaza, not the Southern African government, knows and understands that a major change has to occur, first of all, in education. The entire Palestinian educational system, both in the West Bank and Gaza, have to be completely revised and changed. Incidentally, there are very good educational systems now in, say, in the Emirates, United Emirates. You don't have to go far. You take a program that has been initiated and is being implemented in some modern Arab countries about Jews, about Judaism, about Israel, which is much more moderate. So you are absolutely right. Education is a key, but education will take decades to produce results, and therefore an effort must be made to find those who are ready to live in peace with Israel. This would be the only condition for peace between Gaza and Israel. There was an opportunity given to the Gazans and to the Palestinians back in 2005 and 6 when Israel withdrew from Gaza. And the expectation was for Gaza to become like the Singapore of the Middle East.
Absolutely.
Instead, they built an Iranian front base to destroy Israel. This could not be permitted this could not be allowed to be repeated again. And what I'm worried about, that the attitudes of the West, of the radical left in the world, and the Islamists everywhere runs exactly opposite to what is needed to create peace in Gaza, which is conditioned for a peace between Gaza and Israel.
Very interesting. That is where we do need to leave it, Professor Eitan Gilboa. Thank you, as always, for bringing us the perspective and some of the information that we certainly didn't have.